not. I've tried the slingshot, but I can only get up to about 25 to 30 feet from it. I've used a braided line, braided fishing line, rather than a mono. And I've found the one I've been using has been about 20 to 65. I've tried different weights, pound. And I tried one with one of the launchers from the club that was supposed to be a 500-pound test, but it didn't really take that much, but it was heavier. So I'm still playing with that. But slingshot went only about 25 feet. My tree's closer to 60. Over.
Saying that, well, my trees here are, oh gosh, they're probably at least 60 feet. And my little slingshot, I bought it at one of the big stores, and it's got the, it's just a little cheap slingshot, and I mounted some stuff on the handle and put my fishing reel on it, and it'll shoot that weight slap over those trees. Like I said, mine's a little more labor intensive because I have to another line up to pull up my rope or whatnot that I'm hanging an antenna with. So I have to, instead of just shooting it one time and then pulling whatever I got coming up, I have to pull something else up first and then do it again. So it takes me just a minute or two longer, but that's okay. But I use 8-pound test line. It's real light. And it really comes out as a reel with that slingshot and the weight. There's so many got different launchers and stuff. W4DJW has got a slingshot that like the tree people use that shoot a 1-pound bag over a tree. And it pulls out a little line that's probably at least an eighth of an inch or maybe 3/16 or something like that thick. It's pretty heavy, stout line, and he shoots it over, and then all you have to do is take the weight off and hook your line to it and pull it up. It works real well. But, some of these things, they're not quite like a launcher. You can pretty much aim a launcher. You aim a slingshot, but, that kind of launcher that he's got that the tree service use, you can aim it to a point, but it's, you stick it down in the ground and then you pull it back and release it. And, sometimes you have to shoot it more than once, and I don't like to have to do that if I can help it.
Tree cutters here are using something like that, and so I investigated what it would cost. The cost was several hundred dollars to get one of those slingshots. I decided that was a little bit more than I wanted to put into it. It was close to $500, but it would put that line up there in a heavier line. But I end up using a couple of messenger wires of different strengths to pull it through. And if I can find it here, I'll give you a way of attaching an initial line to a heavier line. It worked out pretty good, and rather than knots, it gave a smooth way of attaching. I'll see if I can find that. Over.
Well, I attach mine different ways. I always tape everything up good and tight, and that makes it slip through most of the tree limbs and stuff such as that. Haven't had any trouble with it so far, knock on wood, because of the way I do it, but there's always something, not always, but most of the time there's another way of doing things, and it might work better and it might not. It's always good to have alternatives that you can go to.
Yeah, something like that, but the knot came loose and it snagged on one part, and I kept pulling on it, couldn't get it through. I finally hooked up my truck to it and pulled, and the antenna wire broke. It's supposed to have around 500-pound tensile strength, but I got it back. The one I'd like to use is on YouTube. It's called Cable Pro, and it shows how to attach a messenger wire to a cable It's basically using half inches, and then I tape the whole thing. You end up with a knot, if you will, that is not much larger diameter than the cable itself, and it's very smooth on both ends as long as the tape doesn't catch. You have to tape the whole thing, really, so that the tape doesn't snag and pull loose, which is what happened to me. What I've used on other things, it works very well. It's cable pulling knot rolling bead, BEAD, version 2. And it works really good. Over.
Now, Ed, I'll have to pull that up on YouTube and see what the fella's got. Like I said, there's all you just get out there and experiment and play around with it different ways and that sort of stuff. But it depends on what kind of knot you want to tie and how big a knot the knot is. And a lot of times, the worst things I've had is if you're going over one of these pine trees that has pine cones on it. If your line gets in or around one of those pine cones, buddy, you might as well forget it. Just cut it off and try it again. Because if a knot gets stuck in a pine cone, you can't hardly pull it back out.
Couple of tennis balls up in my trees where it didn't come down and I couldn't get it back because it snagged somewhere. So I finally just put enough weight on it to break the line. So the tennis balls are still up there. I've gotten them caught up there, and then based on wind, storms, and rain, they've eventually have fallen so I could rescue it. But I still have one weight that we use from an air launcher. It was metal. It weighed about 10 ounces. Worked very nicely, except that we didn't have enough line for it to pull. And when that stopped it, it looped itself around a branch several times. And it's still up there. Over.
If and when it falls down, I hope you're not outside. One thing a lot of people don't do, I do this occasionally. I've got up a couple of two or three different wire antennas around the property here. And mine have been up about, I put them up 16 years ago. But, a couple of them have fallen since then, and I've changed the things around. But every so often, once a year or once every 2 years, I'll go out, and where the rope goes over a tree limb, or if you shoot it between two big branches and there's a V there, that tree will grow over that line. So every so often I'll go out and take everything loose and let the antenna drop a little bit and pull that rope back and forth a little bit to make sure it's not hung inside the tree or the tree's growing over it. And I got a tree out here. When we moved in, there was a baseball bat in the tree. The tree had grown around that baseball bat and just about covered it up completely. So, you go out and take your antenna loose, maybe once a year, at least every 2 years, and let it drop and pull on those ropes and make sure that the tree is not growing around your rope, because it will get to a point to where it won't, you can't slide it, the rope won't move, it'll be part of the tree, so that's just something that I found out.
I'll have to try that with my long loop because the only thing supporting it is the branches. For my others, my Delta loop, if you look on my QRZ page, you'll see my Delta loop. And I also have a folded dipole. And what I do with those is I have a line going over the branch and a big loop coming back down so I can pull it up and down like a flagpole. And I'll put a loop into that, and I'll use a carabiner rather than pulleys, because the carabiners work just as well as the pulleys, but you don't have to start one end of the antenna to go through. You can just clip on the carabiner anywhere, and I've used that on my delta loop on the corners, so I can raise and lower the whole antenna by using my flagpole type rope, and that way I can lower them without having a problem. But I like your idea of moving the lines every once in a while, make sure that the trees don't grow around those, because then I might have a different problem. Over.
LOS in the Blue Ridge, 2-meter net with N4EDW, Mr. Ed up for Bard. Well, that's true. The carabiners do work, and they work well. I put up it's called a Skywire. It's actually just a loop antenna. But the name of it, Skywire, they have a couple of different ones. One of them's over, you know, like 525 feet long or something of that nature. Works real well. But I put it up with carabiners in the corners, and that worked real well. It made it easy to go up and down. We could adjust it a little bit. I don't have any carabiners in mine here at the house. I've got a super loop up, and then I've got a in-fed wire that I put up. It's 135 feet long, I think it is. And it one end, where it's fed at the end, one side goes straight to ground to a ground rod and a ground wire, and the other end goes out to the antenna itself. And it works real well. I enjoy that. But occasionally I'll go out there and, you know, take the ropes that go into the trees and just take them loose and let the antenna droop a little bit and sag, and then I'll pull back and forth on the rope just to make sure it's not embedded in the tree. But if you use a carabiner or something of that nature, a pulley, you don't have to worry about that. And one other thing that I have done in the past is I put a spring in the rope. Where the rope comes down and you tie it off on the tree, I'll put a spring right there and tie the rope actually to the spring itself. And then the spring is mounted hard on the tree or in the ground or whatever, and as the wind blows, the antenna is going to move as with the trees, and that spring will stretch out and it doesn't put as much tension on your rope, and that'll help keep it from breaking.
Some of the books, if you're familiar with the book called Wire Book, that the wireman vendors of different wires sell. And he's got all kinds of ideas, and they have that. And I use a milk jug with water in it with a loop, kind of like you're talking about. Instead of having a spring, I'll have the jug on it. So if the branches move, a water jug acts like a spring. Over.
Thing that'll move a little bit with the trees as they move around will help the tension on the rope. You don't get that in a bind to where, you know, you got one tree going one way and the other tree going in the opposite direction, and you get that too much tension on there, the rope or the antenna, or something's going to break. We don't want that to happen, because we don't have to do it again. So, there's all kinds of little tricks to the trade that we can use, and those are just a few of them.
A lot by building this launcher. There are a couple ways of using the trigger on it. And I saw one way which I liked and tried it and haven't been able to get that one to work. Went back and used the old style, and that one works. Right now I've got a 2-inch diameter barrel that's about 48 inches long. And I tried it out today, and it gets the thing way up there. We've had rain here for the last week, and it's been down in the low 60s, so I haven't been out much. I guess wintertime is on the way, because all of a sudden came Memorial Day and somebody turned off the heat. Over.
Sure, it's been a little cooler up there than it's been down here. because you live up there in Brevard and I live down in Easley, so there's about, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 degrees difference in our temperature most of the time. But just be patient. The hot weather's coming back again. It'll be here in no time. And hopefully it won't get up into the upper 90s and that sort of thing, but it's supposed to get up there in the upper 80s and maybe the low 90s in the next week or so. About 10 days, I think, is what I was looking at earlier. And so, the weather's supposed to get a little warmer. And, winter is just around the corner, but I don't think it's here yet.
I'll be able to go outside in short sleeves rather than having to worry about the coat. But, we've been lucky up here in the last couple of years. We have not had any snow, at least not measurable snow. Saw a few flurries one day, but no real snow, whereas a couple of years ago we'd get 4, 5, 6 inches a year over.
Well, we don't get much snow down here, and when we do, my wife really likes to watch it when it snows, watch the snow come down. But the good part about it is most of the time it comes down and it looks pretty for today, and then it's gone tomorrow, which suits me just fine.
Detroit for 25 years, and we would get snow, and then it would turn to ice underneath the snow, and that was what caused the real problems, because the snow you could drive through, but the ice is kind of hard, over.
Right. People think that they can drive, in snow, and snow you can pretty well drive in, and ice is a different animal. Everything's different. If you slow down, you can make it through some icy spots, but the kind of ice we get around here is, when we get the bad storms, we normally get ice first, and ice gets under the snow, either that or on top of the snow. And so any way you look at it, it makes for a slippery ride. But that's okay, we'll deal with it regardless, whatever it is.
Delta Whiskey. Well, up north and in the Detroit area and other places, New York and all, people just kind of ignore it. They've got the equipment to deal with it. Here we don't really have the equipment for it. We were used to a couple feet at one time and no big deal. But we got down here and there were forecasts of an inch of snow, and the stores would start closing and the schools would start closing. And then we figured out, well, it was because of the ice, because the roads here in the mountains are curvy and in the shade from the trees, so the black ice becomes a real problem. They would have delays in the school day until 10 o'clock, and then the buses would start moving. Over.
AI-4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with N4EDW, Mr. Ed up in Brevard. Well, that's true, Ed, and, unfortunately, I've got a lot of friends that have lived up upstate New York and, Michigan and, Steve and them came from South Dakota and Minnesota and, other places around. Well, I drove a truck for 45 years. I went top to bottom, east to west in the country. And so I had to learn to drive in all sorts of different conditions. But most of the folks that come from a very snowy area think, I can drive in this. This ain't nothing down here, But they don't realize it's ice. It's a different type of snow. It's all frozen precipitation, but it acts differently. And when you get out there and get to driving on the stuff we have down here, it gets real slick real quick, and you got to pay attention any way you look at it. That's the way it is. I've been from one side to the other, and you go from here, and it don't ever get down below, well, very seldom it gets down below zero, and then you get out there in other places, and you get out and it's 30 below or 40 below zero, and it's a different kind of cold. So I don't like cold weather anyway, though, Ed, but that's okay. That's That's just one of the things I don't like.
Like the tropics. I lived in Panama a couple of years, and people think that's real hot, but it's the highest it got was high 80s, usually mid 80s. 90 degrees was exceptional, and you learn to deal with the rain there. It's very much like up here. You could stand on one side of the street, watch it rain on the other side, and not get wet at all, and it does that here sometimes. But people think a 4x4 is good on ice, and so they'll get on ice and then throw it in the 4x4 and really cause themselves some problems. 4x4 is not really made for ice. It's made for snow and mud. So I tell people, if you're on ice, don't use the 4x4 because it'll just create problems for you. Over.
You know, somebody that's lived with it and dealt with it all their lives, you need to listen to them. You know, they got more experience with it than you do in a lot of cases. What else you got for us tonight, Mr. Ed? I'm going to have to break here in a minute and see if we got any other check-ins.
For now, I got to do some bill paying on a computer. I'll cut down the net, over.
Bills paid, and I hope everything goes well for you, and hope that launcher works out when you put the line on it and get your weights all situated that you're printing out on your 3D printer, and that works out for you. But you take care, and we enjoyed it, and we'll do it again sometime soon, I hope. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. I guess that's going to about wrap it up this evening. Enjoy talking to Ed. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Maybe you learned a few things about putting antennas up or whatnot. If not, you can go to that YouTube video that he listed, and we can find out some things there maybe. In the meantime, I'll go ahead and submit my net report, and then we'll close the net out. Folks, had a grand total of 60 tonight. Good net. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in radio land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling to the best of my knowledge and give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.